chapter 28, about the gates and the courts. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, I want to read verse 6. And he said to me, now this is, the me is David and he is the Lord. And he said to me, your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my what? And my courts. For I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. I want you to understand that it's as important to the Lord to build the courts as it is to build the gates. Do you see that? I mean, to build the temple or the house. Do you see that? Do you see it's as important to the Lord to build the courts as it is to build the house? Now, in the New Testament, we find out that the revelation of the temple is what? Paul says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you are the temple. Your body becomes the temple, the very dwelling place for God. But also, at your temple, there is a court area. There is an area around you. And the way that I'm going to be sharing and bringing this today is that court area around you are the people that are in your life. And do you realize that it's as important to the Lord that He build the temple properly, that you build the temple properly, but it's also as important to the Lord, the people that are in your life? Do you see that? How many of you believe that it's important who you let come into your life? And that's the way I want to bring this today, and I want to say some things, and I really do want to try to help us. Flip over to 2 Chronicles 4:9. Verse 9 says, then he made the court of the priest and the great court, and doors for the court, and overlaid their doors with bronze. There are two large courts in the temple of Solomon. There is the great court, and then there is the court of the priest. Then there were the doors that were, or the gates that were to the courts. And I want to show you this so you'll have a visual image, and then from this visual image I'll be able to put it into our lives. The great court is this massive area that is out here. Tabernacle of Moses, it was 50 cubits by 100 cubits. There are no measurements given for the Temple of Solomon. It was just great. It was bigger than 50 by 100. This huge area becomes the great court. Ascending these steps, coming up onto the foundation level, is the court of the priest. And you would enter, and that court of the priest would go all the way around the temple structure itself. Then you would enter into the temple, into the holy place, and then into the Holy of Holies, or into the oracle of God. Now, here are the gates. There are four gates to the Temple of Solomon. How many gates did the Tabernacle of Moses have? One. It only ministered to one group of people. It only faced one direction, and that would be to the Jew. Temple of Solomon, just looking at the truths right here real quickly, has four gates, one going east, one going west, one going north, one going south. Now, this would speak that it ministers to all groups. Every ethnic group could find a way in. When we come into the dimension of the temple, we don't leave anything out. Everything must come in. It's no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer black or white. There's no longer male or female. We are all one in Christ. And we've got to learn this in the temple dimension. Also speaks of the different or the ease of coming into Him. How many of us believe that probably if we were to talk about it, we'd find out that every person here came to Jesus in a little different way, from a little different direction. Do you think that would probably be true? Some of us came from the east, some of us came, but we came to Jesus, and this speaks of the ease of coming to Him. We can come in many directions. So we come into the temple area. We come into the Lord. And who is the door? He's the door. He's the way. You got to come through Him. Now that door is made of cedar wood and then covered with bronze. Bronze in the scriptures, I'm going to leave this on so I can just look up here every once in a while. Bronze in the scriptures speaks of judgment. The bronze that covers these doors speaks of coming into a judgment as you come into the things of God. Jesus in the revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, as it gives a description of Him, it says that His feet was as of what? Bronze. It's the judgment. He He judges things. And so in the book of Deuteronomy, where God gives the blessings and the cursings, He says, if you will obey me, you'll be blessed. But He says, if you disobey me and you don't do what I say, He says, the heavens will become as bronze and the earth as iron. In other words, your prayers won't be getting through. It'll be like bronze. The earth will be iron. There will be no productivity. It can't rain and nothing is produced. It's the judgment of the Lord, the bronze. But what we've got to learn in the body of Christ and in the church world as well, that judgment that God does is not for death, but it's for life. Is that right? When He judges my life, it's not to destroy me, it's to help me. And what we've got to understand in the body of Christ is that principle. And I'm not going to get into this because this is not what I feel to preach today. But we've got to understand, what psalm was it that we studied that time? And some of you may know it. It talks about the judgments of the Lord are righteous. And they're precious. And it's sweet. It's not because He's wanting to kill me or destroy me or hurt me, but He wants me to be blessed. And that's the mentality that we've got to come into in the body of Christ. But anyway, coming into the things of God, you're going to come into His judgment. And anytime you go through gates in the Scriptures talks about coming into a different order, into a different dimension. For example, now this is the court of the Lord, or the gates of the Lord. So if I come into the gates of the Lord and into the courts of the Lord, then whose dimension am I coming into? His dimension. Let me use this for an example. If you come to my house, and I have the right at that gate, at that door, to let you in or keep you out. How many of you realize when somebody comes to your house, that's your house? And there's a door there. How many of you are glad that you're chosen of God and that He brought you in? All right. He opened the door and He says, come in. If you come to my house, you know, I might not be as merciful. You know, I might say, whoa, this is as far as you can go. How many of you ever had people come up to your door that you really didn't want to come into your house? That was your decision. You judged it right there. And you said, come in or you can't come in. So, well, let me give you this example. A couple weeks back, Pastor Buren was up from Griffin and he spent a couple of days with us. And we do things my way at my house. Now, he is my elder. He is my pastor. And when I go to his house or go off with him, we usually do what he wants to do, don't we? I mean, that's just the way it works. But when he came to my house, he came into my house. And one thing that we do in my house is that we all go to the table, and Judy's fixed our meal, and it may be us sitting on the table, or it may be sitting on the bar. But anyway, what we do is we get us a plate, we bless the food, we sanctify it, and we all get us a plate, and we help our plates, and then we go out to the den, and we sit in the den, and we eat. We get us a pella, and we set it on our laps, and we just have our time in our den. Now, that's something that we do in my house. Well, Pastor Buren came, and he's never done that. They always ate at the table. But when he was at my house, guess where he ate? If he wanted to eat with us, now he could have sat at the table if he wanted to. But we were going to go to the den. That's just what we did. And so he comes to the den. So he goes home now, okay? And now he wants to do the same thing. He enjoys that so much, you know. He tries to do it, and his wife gets mad at him because she wants to sit at the table. Well, they got to work that out. That's their house. But at my house, that's what we do. And if you come to my house at mealtime, that's what we would do. If you come to my house during mealtime, you'll find me not at the table, but in our den. Unless it's some special occasion or something and we're doing something different. But that's the norm. And when you go to, when you enter into a gate, into somebody's home or into another gate, since every tribe had its own gate. As they wandered around in the wilderness, then you would come into that tribe through that gate. It speaks of a different order, a different form of government. Let me use it this way. You come to this church, you do things specific ways. I mean, it's not that we've got them written down and this is how we're going to do it, but we do things. How many of you know that we follow, even though we don't have a bulletin, we still do things pretty much the same. You can probably look at your watch if you were home right now saying, well, it's 20 after, he might be preaching. You would know that it was getting pretty close to that time. If we live here, though, and we went over to the First Baptist Church, would we go into their order or would we try to keep our own order? We go to their order. We're going to their order of things, their government, the way they do things. If we go down to the Methodists, we're going to do it their way. And so gates speak of coming into something in a new dimension, into a new way, into a new order. That's what gates speak of. Courts speak of fellowship. The Bible says that we dwell in the courts of the Lord. It's in the courts that we have fellowship with one another. It's in the courts of the Lord that, if you can understand what I'm projecting to you or trying to, this would be you, the temple. You are the temple. And this would be the boundaries of your life. And inside the boundaries of your life are people. Everybody that you know will dwell within these boundaries of your life. And you will have fellowship with these people in some dimension or the other. That's the courts of the Lord. Turn to Revelation 22. Does the New Jerusalem have gates and walls and boundaries? We need boundaries in our lives. Walls speak of boundaries in our lives. We've got to have boundaries in our lives. It gives us protection. It sets and establishes the point that we can go to and then the point that we cannot go to. Boundaries are good. Within the boundaries of your life will come people. People will come into those boundaries. And there are specific people that you need to keep out of your life. And he gives us a list here. Now, the Christian's life should be open. It should be that kind of a life that encourages people to come in. But there are specific people that even the Christian needs to keep out of their lives. And here they are in Revelation 22, verse 14. Read 14 and 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. You got to eat. You got to wear a robe to eat of the tree of life. Yeah, you know I jest. You know I jest. This is a, okay. Wash their robes that they may have a right to eat of the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. How do you get into the city? Enter through the gates into the city. Now, outside the city, outside the gates, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. How many of you want liars in your life? How many of you want immoral people in your life? How many of you want idolaters, people that worship something other than the Lord God? How many of you want dogs? We have a lot of dogs in our lives, don't we? This is not the canine species, okay? These are the people Paul calls those that go around preaching the circumcision dogs. These are religious people that put you in bondages. You got to do and you can't do. You got to do and you can't do. It's cold in here. Freezing cold. Kill those money. So what he's talking about is these are the people that you do not allow into your life. And that's all we're talking about here. Now, want to move on. If you really want to know who not to let in your life, then there they are. Now, I want to bring this in a body, soul, spirit way, or a spirit, soul, and body. I want to kind of bring it into that dimension. The outer courts, the great court, would become the body dimension. It's a common ground. It's the area that we can fellowship with anybody. Can you even fellowship with the sinner? Sure. There's a common ground. Paul says, I become all things to all men so that I can save some. Can you fellowship with a Baptist? With a Presbyterian? With an Assemblies of God? Can you fellowship with everybody? Sure. There's a common ground. That's that outer court area. You can fellowship with anybody out there other than the ones that it says don't fellowship with, the dogs, the immorals, and all that stuff. Then we come into that next area. And I want to bring that as kind of the soul area. Soul area, your mind, your emotions, your intellect, the way you think. Coming into this area. This is the body area. This is where you see people. People see you. Then you come into this next area, which would be the soul area, the way you think. How many people really know how you think? Is there as many that come into this dimension with you as there are out in this dimension? No. Few people really, really know how you think about something. Now you may project to them a way of that you think. They see you, but few people really know how you think. And then you can come on into the temple, into the very innermost part. How many people really get into the very insides of you and really know what makes you tick? How many people have that access into your life to really see what you're made of, what's really in there? Very few. And I want to bring this way, if I can, if you'll let me to do this. That inner part is a very private part. I just don't show that to anybody. Do you? No. Because they might not like what they see. Why can't we develop the relationships with people so that they can come into that very inner part? Notice, too, that out here, there is no foundation. But up here, we're on a foundation. Up here, we have foundation relationships. Relationships that will last. Relationships that really mean something. These relationships out in that outer court are basically common acquaintances. But when you come into this dimension that I'm trying to talk about today, you come into a very personal, private place where people begin to touch and see and feel and hurt. Why can't we develop a sanctuary, a foundation relationship with more people? I've got some thoughts. They all come under fear. The reason that we don't is because of fear. First of all, they might not like what they see. We may not be as spotless in that dimension as we are out there in that outer court dimension. How many of you look the same when you get up in the mornings as you do when you go to bed at night? Turk does? No. I don't. I really don't. I get in the mornings and I say, ooh. And I'm looking in the mirror. And I'm not looking at my wife. I'm looking in the mirror. But that's that dimension where people begin to really see what you really look like. The first reason is they might not like what they see. And that frightens us. And the second reason is we're afraid of rejection. And we're afraid of hurt. We know that if somebody gets into that dimension in our life, they have an access to hurt us. Do you know that the only people that can really hurt you are those people that get into that dimension of your life? Those people in the outer court, they may talk about you, say something bad about you, but that really don't hurt you. It's when those people get into that inner dimension that they can really hurt. And then thirdly, there's the fear of the thief. We're afraid if we let some people in there, they might take what's ours. How many of you know that these are really legitimate reasons? And these are reasons that we really don't let people into our lives. Am I right now? Will those three things happen? Will you be hurt if you let people into your life? Do you run the risk of a thief? Of possibly a woman taking your husband? Or a husband taking your woman? Do you run that risk? Excuse me. Is it true that they probably will see things in your life that they might not like? Those three things are real. And that's why we won't let people in. We keep them out in that outer court area. We're safe out there. They're not close enough to look around and see what's really there. But does the Lord want us to develop strong foundational relationships with people? What do you think? Do you think that the Lord really wants you to have relationships with people that can really get inside of you and help you and minister to you and heal you and really help you get rid of the trash that's in your life? See, the Lord really does want us to do that. He wants us to let people in, to come in and help us. I really believe that this is one reason why generational curses go on from generation to generation to generation. They just won't let anybody in to help clean up the trash. And so the trash is handed to the next generation. and the trash is handed to the next generation. You won't ever get ministered to, not in the depths. Now, you might come up here and get a hand laid on you and a prophecy and a prayer, but that's basically either, at best, court of the priest ministry. That's not inner sanctuary ministry. This is one reason that we began the care groups. We can't touch your life and minister to you up here like we want to do. We want to get inside and really touch your life and minister. We have what we call the life enrichment thing. It's developed to get into the depths of a person. But that's still, I've seen so much of that. Person confesses all their sin and all their trash, but it doesn't get rid of it. They just confessed it. It's there. Here it is. Help me. They want it rid of. But so much of it just stays there. God wants us to develop relationships so that people can come in and minister to us and that we can minister to them. And relationships, let me say this, are two ways. If you're not being ministered to on the inside in a way that you need to be ministered to, it probably means that you're not letting anybody in and neither are you ministering to anybody else on their insides. You've just got a wall there. You won't let anybody in. You won't let anybody in. Nobody's going to let you in because it's a two-way street. I think the Lord wants us to have those relationships so that we can be ministered to, so the trash can be gotten out, so that things can be dealt with. So what do we do? How are solid inner sanctuary relationships developed? I've got seven thoughts I want to give you. Number one, know that the Holy Spirit will bring people into your court to minister to you and for you to minister to them. Know that right now, this very minute, in your life, there are people in this dimension that really want to minister to you. And people in this dimension that you really want to minister to. And the Holy Spirit does that. It's not something that you just say, well, I'm going to minister to this person and this person. The Holy Spirit begins to work on hearts and turns hearts to one another. You got to understand that first and foremost, that there really are people right now in our lives that can minister to us and that we can minister to. And that relationships are two-way. I've got to let them in so that they can minister to me, and I can't minister to them unless I let them in. Is that clear? Number two, those people will have genuine interest in you. And you'll know this because of the price they pay to get to know you. There were steps of ascension here. These speak to me as a work to develop this relationship. We're talking here of foundation stones that are 18 feet high. These steps went up. It was work. It was laborious to get up. You had to go through another door. And the people that really want to know you and really want to minister to you will pay the price and do the labor that is required to get into your life. Do you know that relationships really do cost something? They really do. It costs you hurt. It costs you time. It costs you bruising. It costs something. And these people will ascend. They will go through the hurt of the relationship that that relationship requires. They will allow you to come into their life, even though they know you might be a thief. They will allow you to come into their life, even though they know that you'll probably see some things you don't like. And to get people into your life, you've got to do the same thing. You've got to understand that they're going to find things in your life that you really wish they wouldn't see. That there's going to be some hurts. And that they might steal something very precious to you. But that's the price of relationship. Third thing. Solid foundation, sanctuary, relationships take time. It took 7 years to build the temple. And it seems that we want relationships to develop overnight. That we want to develop trust in people just overnight. We just want them to just accept us and just let us into their most inner sanctuary overnight. People, I won't let you into my life overnight. And you really won't let me into your life overnight. You might confess some things to me in a counseling session. You might say some things. But you're just going to let me know and let me in as far as you want me to come in. And I'll never let anybody into my life that quick. I've got to see that you're really wanting to know me and help me. You know, the charismatic thing. We went through this thing not too long ago of a glass life. You know, let me look into you. We used to sit around a table with a person And he'd want to say, let's confess our faults to one another. Let's critique one another. Folks, you just don't do that. It takes time to develop relationships. It takes a lot of time. It takes years. We're not really sometimes willing to pay that price. Number four. You've got to understand that when people come into this dimension, they're going to look around. And guess what they'll find? They'll see everything that you really don't want them to see. They'll see where you haven't dusted. They'll see where things are out of order. They'll see where you haven't vacuumed. They'll see the trash on the floor. They'll see the cigarettes in the ashtrays. They'll see those. You got to understand that people are going to see the things you don't want them to see, but that is a price that a foundation relationship requires. So people come in, and you got to understand that. They'll see what's in order, what's out of order. But guess why they're there? To see those things that are in order and out of order. And to help you get the trash out of your life. Am I right? So you won't get it out by yourself. You got to let somebody come in and help you move this junk out. How many of you have been saved for more than 5 years? Would you raise your hands? How many of you have been filled by the Holy Spirit in these 5 years? But how many of you still battle with some of the same trash that you were battling 5 years ago? See? You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're talking in tongues. And we say the Holy Ghost is going to deliver me from all this. Yeah, you've got to have Him to start with. But folks, you're still battling the same things. And one of the reasons is we're not confessing our faults one to another. And I'm not talking about sitting around a table like I was relaying a while ago. I'm talking about we're not letting people in. Number five, on the other hand, or the other side of that thought, when somebody does let you into their life, don't go in there touching and handling and examining everything. I've been over to Steve Lytle's house a time or two. Steve, the first time I come into your house, did I start wandering around in your bedrooms and looking in your closets and picking up your trash can lid? And did I do any of that? None of us would do that, would we? Would you go to Dr. Cash's house and start saying, I want to go upstairs and see your bedroom? You don't do that with people. When people select you into their lives, don't go sit down in their living room. And if they want you to see something, they'll go get it and bring it to you and say, here, look at this. And then look at it. Say, well, do you want to talk about this? Yeah, I need to talk about it. Well, then talk about it. But a lot of Christians want to get into somebody's life so they can go looking in all the closets and finding all the garbage and all the junk and make them feel so inferior. And they say, man, I'm never inviting that guy back in my house again. Am I right? You know I'm right. Folks, it takes time. Develop the trust. And then when they open that closet to you and show you their dirty clothes, then you can show them how to wash them. Then you can help. Don't go ransacking their house and trying to find all their problems so you're going to get them straightened out. Let the Holy Spirit use you, lead you, guide you, give you wisdom. Number seven, when we are hurt, and we will be, understand that if you develop relationships with people, you will be hurt. That's a price. That's a cost. That's the ascending up into that dimension of a person's life. You will be hurt. You will experience rejection. You will experience the thief. You will experience hurt. But when you do experience those things, don't seal up the entrance. Don't say, man, I'm never going to let anybody get to me like that again. Because don't turn so self, because if you're like that, if you have been hurt in a relationship, and most of us have been, we've sealed the door up. We won't let anybody in. But also what we have done in the same time is we've sealed the door up so that we can't get out. To have a relationship where I let somebody minister to me, I have developed a relationship with that person that I can minister to them. And we turn so inward that we forget that what we're really here to do is love people. Is this true? People that have been hurt and say, man, I'll never let anybody get to be like that again, are not helping anybody in that inter-court dimension. You might pray for people, prophesy to people, do all those things, nice things for people, but really getting in and getting the trash out of somebody's life, you're really not doing it because you haven't developed the relationship with them. How many of you know what I've tried to communicate to you today is true? Is that true? Now, let me just add this one thought. I have found in marital counseling that few men are allowed into their wife's innermost oracle or sanctuary. I have found that most women are not allowed into the man's innermost sanctuary. They live together. They stay around in that soul realm, in that outer court realm. But they never allow one another into that most innermost dimension. This is why marital problems happen. Every person wants somebody in there. Every person wants to let somebody come in that they can experience what's really inside of them with. And so the man is going to find somebody to come in there. The woman wants somebody to experience that with. And so the woman will find somebody to invite in there. Husbands, you better learn to talk to your wives. Had Adam been talking to Eve, she wouldn't have been talking to the devil. Understand the principle. You're talking to your wife, nobody else will be talking to her. Husband, wives, learn the principle. You want to keep your husband at home, you better open up and let him in. You better let him open up and you come in. The reasons people have marital problems, folks, and I don't know of a single situation that this isn't true, there's been no communication into that innermost sanctuary. We won't let them in. We're afraid they'll hurt us. They'll see something they won't like. So problems develop. I want to quit and I want to minister. I want your heads bowed. Some of you have very good relationships with people. You have people in your lives that you can trust. You've developed these relationships over years and years. And you need to praise God for them. But most people do not. Most people really have nobody that they can really talk to, that they can really invite into the very oracle of their being, the very holy of holies, and let them look around. Most people do not. It's a void in their life. It's an empty place. If that's you today, you have that emptiness down deep inside of you, and you really do want to let people in, but there's a spirit of fear. Fear they won't like what they see. Fear they'll reject you once they do see. And fear they'll come in and take what's yours. And therefore you shut it off. If that's you today, you've been hurt in a relationship, would you lift your hand up and say, Lord, I really want your help. I really want you to help me. Amen. See some hands. Keep them coming up. If you haven't raised them and you want to, keep on raising them. They just keep on coming up around. Amen. People need relationships. John says this in 1 John, therefore having fellowship one with another, and then confessing your sin and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The Christian experience is developed around relationships. Relationships with God, relationships with people. Said, give me the two greatest commandments. Jesus said, love God and what? Love people. We love God. We know who God is. But we've got this outer court dimension of relationships with people. The body of Christ can never come into all the body of Christ is supposed to be as long as we walk in this. Would you stand? Those of you that raised your hands, come down and let us pray with you. Just pray over you that the Lord will do some healing. He will take His cutting iron and open up that door again so that you can allow people in. You've been hurt. You're bruised. You've sealed the door. It's a very natural thing to do. But the neat thing is that we're not natural. We're supernatural. I'm going to take you through just a series of little things, and I want you to just repeat after me. The first thing will be to forgive that person that hurt you. If that person is with you, then you look at that person and tell them that you forgive them. And if that person's not with you, you just speak that name. And it's very important now that you say it, okay? Jesus says when you pray, say. It's very important that you release it. And then I want you to open your heart like a birdcage. So you've got that person in a cage and you got yourself in a cage. You need to open that birdcage up and take them out and just let them go. And release them and forgive them. And then open the door to your life so that you can be ministered to. Father, right now we just ask you to minister to us, minister to this body. Father, there are big hurts here. Father, these people are afraid of people. They are unable to minister to people because they're unable to be ministered to. And Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will, as it is, take your cutting iron and open again that door into their life so that they can allow people in, allow people to help them. And also, Lord God, that they, in that dimension then, can be invited into other lives, that they too can minister to others. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive, and then you say the name. I forgive. I didn't hear very, boy, you don't want to say it, do you? You need to forgive the person that hurt you. Okay? You just need to do it. Let's do it one more time. I forgive. Say the name. All right, we'll do it again. I forgive, and you say the name. I forgive. Okay. I just believe you said it. Father, cleanse me now. Say that with me. Father, cleanse me now. Open up my heart. Allow me to allow people in that I can minister to them and that they can minister to me. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I want you to do this. Just reach and touch your heart. Close your eyes and envision that cage being opened up, that door in your heart being opened up, and you taking that person and releasing that person that hurt you. But more importantly, seeing that door not close again, but stay open, that others can come in and that you can come out. Unforgiveness is a trap. And we get trapped by that unforgiveness, and we're the ones that suffer. Would you do that? Just grab your heart now, open it up, and then just lift your hands high in the air as an expression of releasing that person and those things, and let it go. And then see your heart open now to the ministry of people. Amen. 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 Father, we just thank you now. Father, I pray that in these people's lives that they will understand there are courts. And then in those courts, there are people that really do want to love them and really do want to minister to them. And that, Father, there are people that they can trust. There are people that they can allow into their beings and allow into their secret parts and can help them with their lives and help them prepare a temple for the Lord God. For truly we are the temple. We're the house of God. We're the house of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name just to minister your healing right now. In the name of Jesus. Now I want just the rest of us, just everybody, just come on down. Just come on down. Because I want this to work in our body, in this church. I want to right now bind the spirit of fear that keeps us apart. That keeps this body from allowing the fellowship that we need to have. That keeps this body apart from allowing the other members into our lives and just having good times with one another. And I just really want to bind that spirit and just open up our hearts to people. And I want to say that. I just want to say it. I want us all to say it. We're going to open our hearts up to people. We're going to love people. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, say that.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
I open my life.
To the ministry of people.
I open my life. Even the secret parts of my life. That people can come in. And minister to me. And I open the secret parts of my life. That I can go out. And minister to others. I want to love people.
I want people to love me.
I want to love God, and I want to love people. And I am going to do it by the power of the name of Jesus and by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am going to love people. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I just really want us to learn to do this. I want us to learn how to do this. I think that's something you have to learn how to do. Do you realize there are costs and it hurts to love people? It hurts. Gary, have I hurt you? Yeah, I have, haven't I? Don't answer that. See that? I have. I know I have. I know when I did it. I did. Now, he can seal it up and not let me ever in there again, or he can allow this to minister today so I can come in. Some of you have hurt me. You understand what I'm saying? And we've got to stop that junk. We've got to quit thinking about that stuff and just say, okay, that happened. I can't do anything about it. I'll try not to do it again. And just start loving one another. Amen. God bless you. Good evening or good afternoon or something. Go watch the Braves.